You're listening to and watching Wake Up with Patty Catter. I am Patty Catter still today, yesterday, and tomorrow. I have Shannon Book with me on the show. Shannon, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Patty. It's like I said
Yeah.
earlier, like in the green room, I've been waiting for a long time to be on the show, and it's finally a reality, and I'm stoked and grateful. Thank you.
I am thankful. I'm thankful for you. I watch your posts too. I kind of think we are equally watching each other on social
That's
media.
cool. I think we have
Yeah.
a lot of the same goals, which is really cool. And like you and your family are doing really cool things, and I'm a fan, so just know that.
Thank you. Thank you, Shannon. So tell my listeners a little bit about where you came from. Where did you grow up? Let's start there.
Well, it came from my mother. There was a thing between mom and dad, and there was a thing, and then that I so I was born and raised in a little bitty podunk town in Kentucky called Hazel Patch, Kentucky. I grew up just like anybody else in that country did. I mean, you know, I grew up in a single wide trailer, so maybe not like everybody, but grew up in the middle of nowhere. Growing up, you know, raising our food and, you know, hunting for what we eat and farming and, you know, working. And my grandfather and my father had their own business, but, you know, it was, you know, times were tough because things were, you had to pay a bunch of other people to take care of business. So, Kentucky's not known for money unless you're in Louisville, or in Lexington, where all the horses are. And then I grew up there, decided that I wanted to join the armed forces. I've been playing music probably since I was a kid. Music in Kentucky is kind of, I don't know, I think it's instilled in our bones. Just because bluegrass is all over the place. I grew up really close to Renfro Valley, which is big, huge bluegrass country place. And you know, music was always a big part of my life. You know, decided that I was going to join the armed forces at, you know, 17 years of age. So I did it, and joined the Navy because the Marine Corps didn't have a doctor program. So I joined the United States Navy and became a Navy corpsman, and spent most of my time with the Marine Corps, babysitting people who like to touch things with teeth because it's cute. And I'm like, hey, put that down. It's got teeth. You don't need to touch that. But doc, it's cute. I know. Now we have to kill it because it's got your finger in its belly. So that's what I did for 17 years, and off and on I played music here and there, and I'd always take a guitar with me wherever we'd go if I could, and if I could stow away a one back somewhere in the middle of nowhere and get it to wherever we were going, I took a guitar and I played music for everybody, and that's just kind of how life has been. I have two kids. They're with their mother in Leesville, Batesburg, South Carolina. My son Owen is pretty soon to graduate Clemson University. My daughter is she's 16 going on 35 in her first divorce already. You know how girls are. I think she hates dad. I don't know what I did, but I'm pretty sure it was just enough to inflame all of the hormones that are going on in her body right now. But you know, I'm a dad, I'm a son, I'm a brother, I'm a cousin, I'm an uncle, I'm me.
I love this so much. And the kids, oh my gosh. I've had a couple of guests on the show and they're like, oh, my kids are such angels. And I'm like, oh, even during the teenage years, huh?
Must be nice. Must
Right?
be nice.
Right? What is that about?
Yeah, somebody tell me where that drug's at, 'cause I need some.
Yeah, it might be the parents. No. Maybe
Probably,
they're
probably.
taking the drugs and they're
Yeah.
everything's
Huh.
great.
You're microdosing mushrooms, huh? Is that what's happening? That's what I hear.
You know, it's funny because looking back, I always think like my kids were actually really good during the times you're going through the hormones, the hormone phase, it's like you go crazy, and then after it's finished, you're like, oh, it wasn't really that bad. Yep, lucky,
Yeah,
lucky.
right. Well,
Yeah.
and listen, to be honest with you, I crack a joke about my kids. My kids are probably the most important thing in my life,
Yeah.
and I don't think they'll ever understand how much and how important they are. Because I've never really been good at expressing that. But I would literally let somebody cut my hand off for my kids, and they're really good kids. They really are. They're amazing. They're intelligent. They're a lot like me, which sucks. So,
I hear you.
yeah, like,
Yeah.
oh, we don't
Yeah.
like you. We're gonna beat you with a steel pipe. That's cool.
Yeah, oh my gosh. It's funny when the kids say something that you've said it or you've thought it, and they say it out loud, or they do it, and you're like, wait, you're not supposed to do that. And you think
Little
about it and you're like,
microphones, man. They're like little
yes.
microphones, and you're like, oh, where'd you get that from? And
Yeah,
you already know
yeah.
where it's come. You already know where it came from. But
Yep.
you don't want to acknowledge that. So you're like, where'd you get that from? And then they're like,
So,
you. And you're like, oh, shit.
so questions about when you were in the military. Did you play music while you were in the military too?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, I'll be honest with you. Like, I played all over. So when I joined the military, my first duty station, well, I went to boot camp in San Diego, California. It was like one
Hollywood.
of my, right? I was one of the last divisions to graduate right next to MCRD San Diego. We had, as a matter of fact, we had a guy that decided that he wanted to go AWOL, and he from the Navy, and he ended up jumping the fence into MCRD San Diego. And I was on watch that night, and the first time I ever experienced a Marine was two DIs barking, "Where's your CC?" Blah 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 blah. And I'm like, this recruit doesn't know what I'm doing with my hands right now, sir.
Oh, man.
But San Diego was my first duty station. I was at Balboa Naval Medical Center, and for like a year, and I spent that whole year pretty much playing coffee shops and stuff down in San Diego.
Wow, that's really cool. I didn't know that about you. So when you were joining the arm, or I'm sorry, the Navy, I'm sure you didn't expect to work that closely with the Marines, did you? Or you actually knew what you were getting into there?
So it's a funny story that you ask me that, because there's a funny story behind it. So when I actually decided to join the armed forces, like, I wanted to join the Marine Corps, because why not? Because the Marines are awesome, and nobody messes with the Marines, because they're, I mean, primarily because they're crazy.
Yeah, you don't want to mess with
But
a Marine.
no, leave the Marines alone, because they like to. They like to eat what they kill. But I wanted to be a Marine, and so I did the whole ASVAB screener, the PFT, all that stuff. And in the recruiting office, I'm like, hey, I want to be a Marine. They're like, all right, cool. So I did all the ASVAB and the screener stuff, and then they were like, so the gunny in the back office was like, so what do you want to be when you grow up, boy? And I'm like, I want to be a doctor. He's like, he puts a big old fat lipper of Copenhagen in his mouth, and he spits in his coffee cup. He goes, "We don't. You sure you don't want to be a doctor? Like, you sure you don't want to be a cop or a sniper or some sort of warrior killer or something?" And I'm like, "No, I want to be a doctor." So he spits in his coffee cup again, and he stands up, and he walks across the hall, and goes, "Follow me, boy." And he follows me across, he takes me across the hall to the Navy recruiting office, and he goes, and he looks at this boiler tech second class, and he goes, "Hey, boats." He goes, "This young man right here wants to be a Fleet Marine Force corpsman. Make it happen."
Huh.
That was it. And I was off to
Wow.
San Diego like 12 months later.
I'll give it to a lot of the Marines out there and different branches too, but man, the Marines, they usually are spot on, right? I mean,
Yeah. Well, they don't have a choice, man. You
yeah.
any given time. So you take the Army. The Army is somewhere in the neighborhood of like 1.5 million people.
Huge.
And that's the United States Army. That may or may not be all of the National Guard units that go along with them. The United States Marine Corps is probably 300 plus thousand. And they do a lot with a little. So they don't really have a lot of time to mess around. So they teach them very well at a very young age that, like, cut the fluff, man. Cut the fluff. Ain't no time for it. We ain't got no time. We ain't got no space for it. So
So true.
it's in everything that they do, literally everything. It's in their packing, it's in their walking, it's in their drill. It's from the top to the bottom, and it doesn't change.
Yeah, when I need an answer to something and I don't want any sugar coating or fluff, I know I can call some Marines up.
Yep.
Oh man. So
That's a fact.
when you're going around and you're playing music at some of these different places, I mean, what were your friends thinking? Because I mean, I don't know if you were actually going out and getting drunk too while you're playing.
True.
But what are they
Maybe
doing on the
probably a
weekend?
lot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, like I know military guys, right? A lot of them go out on the weekends, go to the bars and stuff, but you're out there playing music.
Oh
That's a
well,
lot
yeah, but I
different.
mean, you know, when at a young age, when you're, I don't know, like alcohol made things a lot easier for sure.
Did it make you sound better?
Well, I tell everybody it makes me sound better in their ears when they drink more. That helps the bar and the bar tab. So, I did my fair share of drinking. I've now been sober for 3 years, but yeah, like I drank and partied my ass off. That's what I did. And we would go out. I think one of my favorite places in when I first got into the military is like we'd go to this little Asian karaoke joint, downtown San Diego in the Gas Lamp. And we would go in there every week. Every week. We'd go straight down there. And there'd be like seven of us. And we would take up, there was like maybe 12 tables in this little place. And so we'd take up at least four of those tables. And we'd have dim sum, and we'd have like, you know, pho and all this stuff, and we'd eat all this yummy food and drink like Sapporo beer and sake and all this cool stuff, and I would do karaoke for hours. And it was horrible. Like carry like Don't get me wrong, like I enjoy karaoke and karaoke's fun, but it's karaoke. You know what I mean? I don't know how to explain it without sounding like a jerk.
I mean, it's kind of like if you go into a coffee shop and you want some gourmet coffee, but then you end up at like gas station coffee, right? I mean,
I'm gonna go into Starbucks and order a cup of community coffee. Can I
So,
get some of that Folgers? That's awesome.
know what? I'm really proud of you that you mentioned that you're sober for 3 years.
Thank you.
That's actually important, especially nowadays, I think, in the military community, a lot of veterans are coming forward and saying, you know what? Yeah, we partied really hard when we were younger, and ended up having a problem with it and now
Yeah.
sober.
Yeah.
So,
I think it's
congratulations.
probably, like, to be completely honest with you, Patty, I think that my last 3 years, I've been more level-headed and more mentally stable in the last 3 years of my life than I ever been. And I've done more healing and growing in the last 3 years of my life as a sober man than I've ever done. And I've done a lot of therapy. I've done a lot of therapy, and you know, I did two tours of combat. I did the invasion and I did Fallujah in 2004, and none of that was pretty. Like the invasion was weird for all of us because it was a brand new war after, you know, 20 years of not having war, and then, you know, 30 years of not having war. And then here we are, we're in the middle of this war for another 20 years. And I got to do two of probably the worst Iraq situation campaigns that there were, the invasion in freaking Fallujah. Fallujah was not fun. Fallujah in 2004 was not fun for any of us. I don't care if you say that you had a blast in Fallujah, something's wrong with you. You may or may not be a sociopath or a psychopath. Coming back from that, there was a lot of therapy involved. There was a lot of, I didn't even really know I was jacked up. But when I got into it, I was like, yeah, well, look, I just need to get back to work, man. Let me just get back to work. 'Cause, like, you know, I want to, like, I've got goals. I want to put an anchor on my collar. I want to, you know, I want to go take over my own aid station. I want to go to MARSOC. I want to go do cool stuff. I want to do the stuff that I used to do because it's what I used to do. But alcohol had other plans for me. Alcohol and I guess entitlement. If I were to look at it properly, I'd call it entitlement because I'm a United States Navy sailor. I'm a Navy corpsman. There's nothing on this planet that can mess me up. That to me, that's entitlement. And that was what was going on. And I wasn't working on me. And then when I did get out, I most certainly wasn't working on me because then alcohol and like cocaine, when Rick James says cocaine's a hell of a drug, like he was not joking. He was not joking. But it's not good for a combat veteran. None of that stuff is good for a combat veteran. So my last 3 years, my sobriety has been the best 3 years of my life, to be honest with you. And I'm
Yeah, I
50.
mean,
I'll be 50 in August.
spring chicken. I'm
You're adorable.
the
That
same age as you. Yep. We're both spring chickens. That's how I can
right?
say
We
it.
are spring
Yep.
chickens and they can all kiss our butt.
Yep. So, with your music, it is so powerful. I really want you to tell our audience the logistics of your music because it's different and there's a more of a reason behind your music. And I know a lot of artists say that they have reasons behind their music, but yours is especially impactful and powerful and a great testament in the military community and as patriots around the country. I think should definitely listen to it. And even looking at you on the screen right now, you have the flag behind you. You're a proud American. Tell us about your music and what inspires you.
Wow, that's man, there are so many things that inspire me, but if I could put it in a nutshell, just being American is what inspires me. Like meeting the people, being able to meet the people that I meet and experiencing the people that I get to experience on a daily basis. And there's a lot of tragedy and pain in my music. My music is not easy to listen to. It's not. It's definitely self-reflecting. I've never written anything I haven't lived. And generally, when I put something together, music started out as my therapy. Like, you know, I always wanted to learn how to, like, I started out playing saxophone. My grandpa loved the fact that I played saxophone and he gave me a Boots Randolph cassette. He says, "When you can play this, I'll buy you your very own saxophone." And I was like, cool. But then I wanted to learn how to play guitar and I wanted to learn how to sing. I mean, I was always singing. My dad used to tell me to be quiet in the back of the car because I was too loud and he couldn't hear the radio. Like, be quiet, boy, I can't hear the radio. And I'd sing under my breath. You know, but I've always loved music and it's always been kind of like a, it's been my catharticism, you know, it's been my coddler, my comforter. It's where I go to express my feelings and deal with the things that I've experienced. And after a couple of tours of combat, like it became very angry. The music became very angry and very aggressive. And then people started asking me, like for instance, a song called "Dear Mom." Like I'll never forget the day that I was asked to write that song. It was early. early 2013. And Rachel Jackson calls me, and she was managing me at the time. I was freshly retired, probably about 2 years, 3 years. And she's like, "Hey, I need to ask you a question. Can you write a song for Gold Star Moms?" And I'm like, "What?" Like what? I can try, 'cause most of us in the military will never say no. We generally will not say no, even if we're dying. It doesn't matter. Like, we're not good at
You
it.
can't say no about Gold Star families at
No.
all.
Right. And I'm like, I'll give it a whirl. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what to say to somebody who's lost their child to combat. I don't know what to say to anybody who's ever lost a child. I don't know how I would feel if I lost one of my kids. So what do I say? Well, and then one day I was going down to visit somebody, and I was sitting in the freaking, I was at Camp Lejeune, and I was sitting on freaking Gum Branch, getting ready to turn on Highway 17 to go to freaking Emerald Isle, and I was sitting there, I just cleaned out my Jeep, and I was thinking, and at the stoplight, and the first verse of that song hit me like a ton of bricks. And it was about the letter in my pocket to my mom in the event that I didn't come home. And I wrote that song, and I played it later that August or September. I don't remember exactly. But the first time I ever played it on stage, I had like 19 Gold Star family members behind me.
Wow.
And they were all sobbing. And it was hard enough for me to get through the second verse hearing that behind me. And then that song has just grown from there. So most of my music is based on things that I've experienced and or lived and or loved. So
Yeah, when you were telling that story, I was getting chills just thinking about it. Our Gold Star families are special. Not a lot of people understand what the Gold Star family is or what it represents.
sure.
I was in the White House not horribly long ago, and there's a Gold Star tree. And I heard this lady talking, "Oh, these stars look so cool. Look at this is an awesome tree," and all excited. And I just
Like,
turned to
those were
her and
all lives.
I turned to her and I said, "Do you know what that is?" And she's like, "Well, yeah, there are soldiers." And I'm like, "Those are the veterans who were killed in war." And her whole, I was sorry to shatter her world, but somebody needed to let her know. People just don't understand sometimes. It's a whole
Right.
nother world out there.
Well, and it's not just that. I mean, Gold Star families, like, those people are killed during or training for combat. And then there the whole other group of people who survive all that and then come home and then end up drug addicted and or they do something stupid or they commit suicide, or like, there's a lot of things going on. Like, it's not just. So that song has become more than just Gold Stars. But yes, you're absolutely right. Gold Star families are very important. Anybody who was ever a Blue Star person, family, like those people are important. Those people are important.
Yeah. What would you say has been one of the hardest, if not hardest, trial you've had in your life, and how did you overcome that trial with triumph?
Didn't you say this is going to be easy
I know, I totally put you on the spot.
today? Man, that, 'cause there's so many, Patty. How do I, man? My biggest personal triumph is winning self-deprecation. Completely destroying my own self. And I can't even really take credit for that, because to be honest with you, at the end of the day, the credit all goes to God. It all goes to God, because at the end of the day, like, the last time I was drunk, like, I still have my moments where I'll get up and I'll do something, or I'll stub my toe and I'll be like, "You dumb MF-er, blah blah blah, you stupid. What the heck? And I'll do that like I'm standing in front of some freaking E1 who just dropped everything that I needed him to get done. And I'm knife handing myself. And I'm like, you piece of blah, 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 blah. And, you know, that was primarily alcohol and not getting to know who I was and not giving myself an opportunity to learn who I am. And or not being loving to myself like Jesus Christ is loving to me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so I have a question about that. Do you think that, I mean, did you always do that your whole life, or did you learn that to talk negatively to yourself when you were in
Well,
the
I was taught that.
military?
I was taught that. Yeah. That we're all taught. I think we're all taught something. What, like all of our self, like our self-harm stuff is all taught.
But I'm wondering, is it military? Because I know a lot of veterans now that you, I've never thought about it. It never clicked before. I know a lot of veterans who they say stuff like that, like, "Oh, I'm so stupid. I'm such an idiot." But you know, when you're
That
like in
was
boot camp and
right, but I but that's not where it started. I
okay,
can tell you that from experience because
yeah.
my therapist reminds me of this every time we talk. Like it didn't start in the military. Like I was taught this when I was young. I was taught this when I was a kid. Like these were the things that I taught. I either taught myself or learned from things that I experienced. You know, I was always the comic relief as a kid. So, you know, entertainer, here I am. You know, I was always, I mean, granted, I've turned all that into a positive, but it hasn't always been positive. It hasn't always been positive. There was a point in time, listen, I don't know what your FAA rules are, but I'm about to tell a quick
You
story.
can
Like
say whatever you want on my show.
I used to tell people on stage after I got drunk enough, I'd be like, so there I was, you know, I said, I know I'm not gay. I said, because I've had a penis in my mouth and I didn't like it. And people don't know whether to go, what is
Like, is he serious? Is he not
that?
serious?
Is he being comical or is he being for real right now? Because I don't know. And it got that bad. Like, that's how bad I was. I was telling people my life story for real, comically, to get attention because I didn't know what else to do with it. So, all these things that happened to me as a kid, like, created who I was as an adult. Now, and it's not my mom and dad's fault. It's not my babysitter's fault. It's not my grandparents' fault. It's none of that stuff. It's just life. Life happens to all of us. The reality is that it's better when you have a solid foundation of like some of the best families on the planet still have kids who grow up who have absolutely no idea how to be who they are.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And so that's, I think we all have to go through that. And some of us learn it a lot later than others, and some of us don't learn it at all. And the
So
reality
true.
is that it has taken me 50 years to understand that I'm okay with being who I am because I'm pretty awesome.
Isn't it funny how long it takes us to get it? And some people still never get it. And I don't
Oh,
know that
yeah.
we'll fully ever 100% get it, but
Yep. I am not perfect by any means, nor will I ever be until the day that I walk through the gates of heaven. And when that day happens, like I don't even want to think about it. You know, I will always be a flawed, sinning human being, and that's just the nature of what I was made to be. We all were there. We're all sinners, and that's just how things are. But at the end of the day, like my goal is to be better. My buddy Brian Talley, be 1% better than I was yesterday. One of the best pieces of advice I've ever gotten from any Marine I ever met. Today I'm going to be 1% better than I was yesterday.
Wow. I love that. I feel like I don't even know what to say from here, and that I don't think that's ever happened on my show or in my life. I don't ever have nothing to say.
This
Wow.
game's called You're Welcome.
Right. You guys, thank Shannon, thank you for your service.
Matt Best ain't got nothing on me.
Oh wow,
No,
you're
but
amazing.
listen, I will always be a corpsman, and my heart will always be to take care of people. What I have learned in the last 3 years of my life as a sober man and a I'm working on it Christian, like I'm doing the best that I can every day. Like I'm not the greatest Christian on the planet, but I work on it as much as I possibly can. But what I've learned in the last 3 years is that I will do everything I can to help you. But I won't do it if it's going to make me sink with the boat. Like, and I always use this analogy, and I do this thing now. It's called simple math because I'm going to try to make it as simple as possible. Simple math for us, like all the gray area that we put in our lives, is based on one fraction, and that's us and whoever we're dealing with. Right? The gray area is what we emotionally add to the situation.
Oh, yeah.
All that gray area is what we emotionally add to all of those scenarios. And at the end of the day, simple math is still black and white, whether you like it or not. It's still like simple math is black and white. And that's not racial, so you can put that in your box and put it somewhere else. It's just simple parts of the spectrum of color, black and white. So if you take simple math and you just do what's black and or white because it's right or it's wrong, simple math is born, right? Like, and so I just kind of go, I just go simple math. It's just simple math. I complicate everything else. I'm the complication. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I was talking to a buddy of mine not that long ago, and he gave me some great advice. He said, I actually told him, hey, I think you might want to meet so and so. Might be a good idea for you to meet him. And my friend, he says, well, why do you think I should meet him? What do you think we'll get out of this? And I was like, I don't know. I just thought you guys might be a good synergy there or something. And he's like, no,
Yeah.
that's wasting my time right now. Like it's I don't have time. I'm on my mission right now, my life mission. So I thought that was an interesting perspective too. A lot of times, we kind of get off course because we're busy chasing all the squirrels.
Yeah, but you know what though? I will say this as well. There's focused and there's drive, and then there's just like I don't really give a shit, right? And that I don't know if that's what that was. Me personally, I'm all about meeting people. So if you were to put me in contact with somebody who has the potential to be a positive in my life, there's no way I'm going to throw that away. That's arrogant and ignorant.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's true. It's true. And I've done a lot of networking over the years, my word. I was just remembering, there was a guy who sold t-shirts. I won't mention his name, but he was really he came a long way. So he was selling t-shirts out of the trunk of his vehicle, came a long way, grew this business into like $1 billion business, sold
I
his
know who you're
business
talking
to
about.
Yeah, he's in the military community, and he's an awesome guy. So
Yep.
but it's really neat because I knew him. I can say, like, I knew this guy when he was selling t-shirts out of his trunk. Then he grew this business into $1 billion company.
Right. And then he sold it, and it's still flourishing. It's still flourishing.
And just the connections that we all make over our lifetime
Yeah.
are incredible if you look at it. Like my timeline is perfect, your timeline is perfect. The things, you learn in life Really just it preparing you for your today and tomorrow. So I like
Yeah, God has put
you
us on
realize
here
that.
for a reason, and there's a path for all of us. When it gets
Absolutely.
dirty, it's usually because us and our choices.
Yep.
That's when things get really crazy.
That's so true. Yeah, we complicated ourselves.
That's, I mean, you can call that what you want to call it, but at the end of the day, if you don't agree with that, then you're part of your own complication.
So
Like, I
true.
know I've had to learn it. I've learned it because I used to cause all my problems. I let everybody dictate how I lived my life.
Oh yeah,
Everybody.
I did. Yeah, I was there.
And I don't do that anymore. I don't do that anymore because I can't afford to.
I just love you.
You're awesome. I'm grateful. I don't think you understand. Like, I really am, and I'd like to come down to Florida and hang out and have lunch or dinner with you and your husband. And just get to know you guys personally, because I follow you guys from a distance, and I really am a huge fan.
Oh my gosh, thank you. Tell everybody where they can find your music because it's important and amazing, and I'm gonna pimp it out.
Well, I thank you for being my pimp, and I you can find me if you listen to digital music and you have I don't have any pressings anymore because I don't think people do that anymore, but I might eventually do a vinyl. But most of if you get your digital music, wherever you get it, you can get it at Pandora, you can get it. I can't believe I said Pandora, but you
I
can even still
know.
get it. You can even still get my music on Napster. How weird is that?
Wow. That's cool. That's super cool.
So if you download your digital music, wherever you download your digital music or watch your videos, there's a music video for Dear Mom on YouTube. It's the official music video. And it has some really, really in-depth interviews prior to and at the end, bookend interviews at the middle of the end of the videos. But you can find me wherever you get your digital music, and all social medias, obviously TikTok, Twitter, blah blah. What is it called? It's not even called Twitter anymore. It's what, X, whatever.
X. Yeah, I know that always messes me up. Like,
I don't whatever.
yeah.
It's like the X twit. Whatever, whatever. Thanks, Elon. I appreciate you, bro.
He's listening right now.
I'm cool with it, man. I love that dude. My son is a lot like Elon, and God bless Elon, but my son does not like Elon, probably because he's a lot like him.
That's usually how it works,
Yeah.
especially with
Yeah.
kids. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh my
Yeah.
gosh. Well, if you're listening out there, you're going to see the link to Shannon's show on the notes section of the show. So make sure you check it out. And then if you're on my website, you'll have all of his great resources at your fingertips. I'll make sure that I get the music channels, a lot of them, not all of them, because there's a ton of them, but I'll get the main ones out there for you.
I do have two web pages, is deliberatelybroken.com and shannonbookmusic.com, but they're still in renovation. So
You said deliberately broken.
yes, ma'am, that is the name of my band.
That is amazing. I wanted you to mention that. And yeah, now you just did. So real quick, give a blurb about that because deliberatelybroken.com, I'm surprised that you could even get that website. That's the coolest name ever.
Yeah, because well, I mean, I, yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
That's cool.
I thought about that name. I was trying to come up with band names, probably back in like 2007, 8, maybe 2009. I was in a band formerly called Slack Noise, spelt with a Z. I was looking for another band because I was creating another band, and the first thing that popped into my head was like, I need to talk about what's going on inside of me. And Deliberately Broken became the name because I chose to do what I did. I chose to be in the military. I chose to do all the things I did. I experienced all of life the way I chose to do it. So therefore, I'm broken at this moment in time. And the reason that I'm broken is because I chose to be.
Wow. I love it. Love it. Well, Shannon, thank you so much for being you. Thank you for sharing your authentic story and for being so transparent, because I know that you are changing lives and you're going to continue to change lives. And I am positive that people are going to come up to you years down the road and say, Shannon, remember this one time you did this one thing and you didn't think it was a big deal, but you changed the whole, my whole life.
It
I
happens
do
all the
believe
time.
that.
It's
Yeah.
crazy.
I believe that.
You're
Yeah.
awesome. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you everybody for listening, and definitely check out Shannon's music and follow him on social media. Till next time, everybody, have a good one.